Today on Hardwired.
There's a God, then there are morals, and there is a right and wrong. There is an absolute right and wrong that doesn't change with cultures or societies or times or the whims of people. God gave us the Bible not for us to judge it, but for it to judge us.
Welcome to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's program, you can always listen to it at our website, hardwired.org. You may have been listening to the program for a while, or possibly just tuned in. Well, I want you to know that we do this for you. With a world that is searching and coming up empty, it's nice to know you can land on this message of hope and truth, something we all need to hear. So let's jump right in with today's program. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up in today's edition of Hardwired.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Hardwired. You know, there is no truth like Bible truth, and the Bible is very clear about just what our salvation through Jesus Christ has done for us. Did you know the Bible says that before we were saved, we were dead in our sins? The word dead is from the Greek word that would describe a dead body. So we were spiritually as dead as a dead man before being saved. But the good news is that once we were saved, we were raised from the dead by being born again. As we continue in our walk through Ephesians, we're going to study this powerful life-changing truth. So let's jump right into today's message, Once Dead, Now Alive.
Once dead, now alive. Now, last time we closed chapter 1 by seeing how Jesus is the head of his church. Is Jesus head of the church? You better believe it. In Ephesians, we see the idea of head or head and body four times. Now, Paul uses illustrations a lot to get his point over, and I really like this one. And we're going to look at those four different times as we go through the book. But the Greek noun for head is kephale. And kephale means first the physical head. And then it extends to the figurative use of being of high status. So when you talk about headship, it's a picture or a figure of being of high status or rank over another. So with we human beings, kephale refers to a superior rank. So he's telling us here in Ephesians that Jesus is head of his church. He is of superior rank, which goes without saying. Let's look at verse 22 of chapter 1. We're going to finish out this chapter and then most of chapter 2 tonight. And it says, "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." Powerful. Now first, the church is the recipient of Christ's victory and headship over all things. You know why you have the victory? Because he won the victory. That's why you have the victory. Because we are walking in the wake of Jesus' victory over death, hell, and the grave. And I read today in my devotional how he made an open show of the enemies of God, the devil and all of his cohorts. Jesus made an open display of them, almost a mockery of them, as he went off into the victory that he gained by the cross and resurrection. As he headed up into heaven, he openly triumphed over the enemies of God, the devil. So while the world so often looks with disdain upon the church, Jesus values the church extremely highly. You have high value in the eyes of Jesus Christ. Now, second, the church is also his body. He's the head, and we are the body, the hands and fingers, his voice, his feet. Now, isn't that awesome? It isn't that humbling, a little bit sobering, that we are the representative of Jesus in the world. He's the head, but we're the voice that speaks and the hands that reach and the feet that carry his gospel and so on and so forth. We are the body of Christ. Powerful. We're Christ's music. We're his spokesman. his messengers, his workers, his lovers of humanity. We are his clear eyes of acceptance and forgiveness and love. That's the church. So it matters a lot how you represent his body. Okay? Third and last, we the church are the fullness of Christ. The fullness of Christ. Everybody say fullness. That's very, very powerful. Fullness. The fullness of him, Paul says, who fills and fulfills all things. So amazingly, we're called to be the full expression of Christ in the church. Let me give you some humbling news here, a little news flash. You and I are the only Jesus some people are ever going to see. We're the only Jesus some people will ever see. If you think about that, then it really affects the way you walk in front of this world. Because we're the only Jesus some people are ever going to see. We're to be so filled with him that we literally reflect his glory to a lost and a perishing world, much like the moon reflects the light of the sun. How many of you got out there last night to see the blood moon? All right. We wouldn't see it if it weren't reflecting light from the sun. And that moon is a perfect picture of the church. Nobody would, listen, catch this. You couldn't see the moon without the reflection of the sun. Our world is not going to see Jesus unless we, the church, reflect him. So that's the call of God upon his church body. Now put simply, as I've already said, you're the only Jesus some people are ever going to see. No wonder Paul prayed for the Ephesians and for us that our eyes might be opened. Now, let's go into chapter 2. It begins with an amazing statement that we once were dead, but now are alive from the dead. I want you to say this with me. I once was dead, but in Jesus now I'm alive. Do you know how literal that is? Do you know that he's not speaking figuratively or poetically or metaphorically? He's giving us a fact that we were dead in sin. Let's look at it. Ephesians 2, verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Now, I could tag this verse, The Way We Were. Remember that movie, The Way We Were, Robert Redford and all that? Some of you have no clue even who that is. He's giving us here just a statement about the way we were. This is really the way we were. How were we before we knew Jesus? We used to live and we followed the ways of this world, and we followed the ways of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. What a mouthful that is. He's telling us that we really were following the devil. I'll get into that in just a moment. Now, verse 3 says, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature, what everybody? Objects of what? Wrath. All right, now let's look at this. Paul says that people without Christ are spiritually dead in transgressions and sins. But our culture doesn't even like to talk about the word sin. As a matter of fact, you know what I've seen? There are popular preachers who have stated, well, we don't talk about sin. Now, when I hear a preacher say, I don't talk about sin, that's like me hearing a doctor say, I don't talk about cancer, and I don't talk about heart disease. When you come into my office, I only want to talk about good things. And be sure you go home happy. Is that why we go to the doctor? We go to the doctor to find out what's wrong with us, don't we? And do you know that preaching is supposed to show people what is wrong as well as what is right? That we are in need of forgiveness of sin? Preaching is supposed to show us our need for a forgiving Savior. But if you say, I'm not going to talk about sin, then I don't know what Bible you're reading. You're not reading my Bible. So, the attitude out there is this. In our culture, transgression, what is transgression? What have I transgressed against? What are you talking about? I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay, everything's wonderful. I'm basically a good person. All right? What does the word transgression mean? Another word for that is trespass. A trespass or a transgression is the Greek noun peripatoma. Peripatoma means a violation of moral standards, an offense, a wrongdoing, a sin. When we break God's law, we have sinned. It's not a character fault. It's a sin. Okay? Now, the very word itself, transgression or trespass, assumes that there is a divine law to violate. If there's no divine law, no God, then there is no sin because everybody ought to be doing whatever they want to do. We're animals and we're not created in the image of God. But I'm going to guarantee you, we're not animals. And we did not evolve out of some ancient amoeba crawling out of a primordial sea. No. We have been fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. Okay? So, in light of that, there's also a God. And if there's a God, then there are morals and there is a right and wrong. There is an absolute right and wrong that doesn't change with cultures or societies or times or the whims of people. Okay? God gave us the Bible not for us to judge it, but for it to judge us. So let's talk about sins. Trespass or transgression is to break God's law, but sin is the Greek word harmatia, and the most commonly used word for sin in the New Testament, and it literally means to miss the mark. When somebody sins, it means they miss the mark or they miss the glory of God. They didn't hit the bullseye. They missed the mark. It does not refer to harmless, involuntary mistakes. But sin means there's been a serious offense against God, a departure from divine standards of uprightness. See, sin also assumes there's a God. Transgression assumes there's a God. God is a moral God, folks. He is not an amoral God. He's moral. We have right and wrong because God is moral. All right? And anybody in here ever broken a commandment of God? We all have. And everybody listening by radio or watching by video, you've broken a law of God. As soon as you did, you sinned. And see, the law, the commandments were not given to us that we would obey them because we can't obey them because we're fallen. The commandments were given to us so that we could see that we are sinners and need a Savior. That's why they were given.
We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in a moment to close out today's program. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple: to share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ in a way that gets hardwired into your life. And we trust these messages from Pastor Jeff aren't something you can only listen to and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear. And that's why it's a priority to us. And you get to join us in this important mission. Call us at 877-884-3111 to say you're in. Or drop us a line at our website, hardwired.org. Well, here's Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
Now, our culture largely no longer believes in absolute truth. Truth is relative. Truth is whatever you say it is for you. You know, I'm reading Jeremiah once again because I'm going through the Bible in a year. My little Bible in a year Bible, and I love it because you don't have to pray about what to read in the morning. You just go to it according to the date. And I'm reading Jeremiah again. And you know that I've counted 7 times in the book of Jeremiah that one of the reasons God judged Judah was because they insisted on following the dictates of their own evil hearts. You know what that's telling us? That they insisted on being relativists. They insisted on saying, I'm not going to obey his commands. Truth is whatever I say it is. And you know that brought Judah under judgment and carried them into captivity for 70 years. And where are we in America right now? We're a nation of relativists. Don't tell me what's wrong. Don't tell me that this is wrong and this is right. Because I'll tell you what is right for me. And if that's right for you, then good for you. I'm happy for you, but it's not right for me. But folks, you can't do that if there is a God who has told us what is right and wrong. So it's not up to you or up to me. Because if we follow the dictates of our evil heart, here's what will happen. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Okay? So, if you say, well, I'm not going to obey God's word, I'm going to do what seems right to me, you're going to end up in sin, which causes death. So, but our culture right now, there's no God, there's no absolutes. We've kicked the Bible out. We've taken it out of the schools, taken prayer out of the schools, taken it out of the public square, taken it out of the public arena, taken it out of all of our sports events. We've taken God's word out, and we are suppressing the truth. Now, doing that, we have become relativists, and relativists always end up eventually falling under the judgment of God because they're going to do wrong. A relativist is always going to walk in sin. Now, our culture says there's no absolute truth, no God. So the idea of transgression or trespassing divine law, I just don't accept it. But guess what, everybody? Whether or not we understand or believe it, our transgressions and our sins against God's holy law have made us dead to God. God's holy law, if we break it, we die. Spiritually dead. And whether or not our world understands deadness to God, here's what they do understand. They understand, I feel empty and I don't know why. You know, I watched Sunday night. I watched a couple of thousand people flood that arena. I watched people walk by me weeping. I saw young and old, every race, color, and creed down there on that floor, crying out to God, asking for forgiveness. And I thought, what a sight. And what a statement. All those people that week weren't walking with Jesus, didn't know him, but there was an emptiness. They knew they needed something they just couldn't put. They knew something was missing, lacking. So even though you may say, well, I don't believe in absolutes, and I don't believe in absolute right and wrong, and I don't believe there is a moral law or a moral God, you're still going to reap the consequences of walking away from him, and it's going to manifest as emptiness. I feel empty, and I don't know why. No wonder our culture is so interested in spirituality and hungry for spiritual fulfillment, like the New Age movement. But it's also open to the power of a vibrant Christian faith. And I believe that. And that's why 11:9, we're going to see people saved. We're believing for 300. We're believing for 300 people to be saved. 300 people who don't know the Lord as we speak tonight. But I believe many of them are going to. Amen?
Amen?
Now notice Paul's reference to the way we were. We walked out our existence under the influence of, watch carefully, the course of this world according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. What is that talking about? He's saying in our deadness, spiritual deadness, we mindlessly follow the value systems of the culture around us. The ways of this world, the NIV says, or the course of this world, the King James says. And we were under the authority of the prince of the power of the air, who is the devil. We were under, see, there is no independent person. Every person on earth is serving either the devil or Christ. There is no fence. There's no in-between. You're serving either the devil or Christ. So we were under the authority of the prince of the power of the air. And in our deadness, we lack discernment. I'm amazed. I'm constantly amazed. Let me tell you, I think we're in a 911 when it comes to discernment in America. Amen. Oh, we need discernment. How about, have you realized that? And you know what? A lot of people in the church need discernment. We need discernment. What is discernment? It's when you can tell if something is of God or not of God, from God or not from God, true or not true. Our lives before Christ, when we're lost, are filled and ruled by the cravings of our sinful nature. Here's a few of them: desires, lusts, jealousy, envy, strife, selfishness, you name it, all of which the tempter inflames when you're lost and you're spiritually dead. You put that evil culture and its prince together, and you have what the Bible calls the kingdom of darkness. And Paul wrote of our victory over this evil kingdom in Colossians. I love this verse. I want you to read this out loud with me like you're the one preaching. Are you ready? For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. Wow. Jesus came on a rescue mission. When you got saved, you didn't just get religion. You got rescued from a kingdom that was killing you. And you got translated into another kingdom. We went from one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, to another kingdom, the kingdom of light. From the kingdom of the devil to the kingdom of God's dear son. All when we said, Jesus, forgive me and come into my heart. Isn't that amazing? Living in this dark kingdom made us objects of God's wrath. I want to be so clear about this. When we were living in that dark kingdom, it says in Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all, what everybody? Ungodliness. And what? Unrighteousness of men who suppress, push down the truth and unrighteousness. All right. The wrath of God right now, according to that verse, is ongoingly being poured out on our world because of its sin. And again, he says in Ephesians 5, verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Wow. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be under the wrath of God. Listen, I've learned that in a fight with God, I never win. He's bigger than me. He's always right. And if I'm fighting him, I'm always wrong. Okay? But thank God we have the cross we can run to. And instead of the wrath of God being poured out there, the mercy of God and the grace of God are found at the foot of the cross. So you can live under the wrath that is ongoingly being poured out and manifesting in a variety of different ways, or you can live under the covering of the blood of the Lamb where there is mercy and there is grace, even amazing grace, even stupendous grace, even crazy grace. That I'm going to talk about more in just a moment. Paul continued in verses 5 and 6. He said, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wow, I could preach on that for 4 weeks. Now let me tell you about the word dead. Notice. We were dead in trespasses. Here's the word dead. It's nekros is the Greek word, and it means a corpse. Get a hold of that. When he says we were dead in sin, we were as dead as a corpse is dead. Everybody say with me, sin kills. Oh, yeah. Now watch this. It means a corpse, a dead body. It means literally dead, what lacks life, not able to respond to impulses or perform functions. To be absolutely powerless. I want you to know, folks, dead people don't seek God. Dead people, spiritually speaking, are as dead. This is what he's telling us. He used the Greek word for a dead body to tell us how dead we were in sin. Wow. So when Paul says we were dead in sins, he means we were utterly lacking any of the life of God. Were we a human being, a functioning human being? Yes. We went to work, raised families, performed all of the functions of a normal human being, but spiritually, we were nekros, dead, dead. We couldn't respond to God. We were powerless to save ourselves. That's humbling, isn't it? Now, two of the characteristics of God come into play and came into play in our salvation. Say it with me, mercy and grace. Thank God for mercy and thank God for grace. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in today to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 877-884-3111. You can also connect with us at our website, hardwired.org. It's no secret that our country has had some extreme challenges over the last year or two.
People have been going through depression, isolation, emotional pains, disillusionment, and more, and are looking for something to grab a hold of for security. Well, the answer is not in something, it's someone, Jesus Christ. And that's what this program is all about. So here's how you can help us get this message out. Being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. And we believe that these messages with Pastor Jeff are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 877-884-3111 or at our website, hardwired.org. 877-884-3111 or go to hardwired.org. Thank you for your very generous gifts. God bless, and thanks for listening to Hardwired.